All right, so as I mentioned, feel free to send us some questions if you think of any during the presentation, but we'll unmute the lines there at the end. And thank you so much for joining us today for this training call. It is Stop Dreading the Fourth Quarter, because everyone thinks that it's the time where you don't get any deals done, but we're here to prove you wrong today. So Chris Coleman is going to be our host. He has a wonderful presentation ready, so I'll go ahead and pass it over to him, and he can go through it.
Hey, thanks, Megan, and welcome, everybody. Happy Monday to you, and hope everybody had a great weekend, and I appreciate the opportunity to join you today and talk a little bit about or maybe look into the future a little and, you know, talk about the fourth quarter. You know, this conversation kind of emerged as, you know, when Megan did a field visit here and sharing with me what other people are feeding back to her that, you know, the fourth quarter can be somewhat dreadful, or people certainly don't look forward to it or look to it as a time when, you know, you might not be as productive, might not get as many deals or leads coming through. So what I'd like to talk about today, basically just share a little bit with you of what's been shared with me, you know, by many others in our system, things that would kind of turn what might be perceived as the slow times into possibly some of the most productive times in your business. So, you know, when I reflect upon the past years and some of the things that I implement, you know, whether it's this time of year or prepping for the fourth quarter, I look back at, you know, some of the things I've done in for, you know, Q4, they may have been some of my most productive quarters. So this whole idea of perception, you know, sometimes obviously turns things into a reality. So, you know, some of the ideas I've kind of put together, documented here today to share with you, you know, might be strategies that you're already enacting. Maybe we'll surface some things that you might be avoiding. But hopefully there's maybe a nugget or two for you to walk away with today. We've allocated plenty of time to do some follow-up and Q&A or just discussion time towards the end. But if there's anything you want to jump in on, yeah, feel free to, you know, use the chat since most people are muted here. Let's go ahead and kick into some things here. So, again, as Megan mentioned, many people have this expectation that, you know, summer is slow and fourth quarter is even slower, which, you know, this is very much a cyclical business. You know, it's got its ups and downs throughout the year. But as you know, this is, you know, FranNet, this is not a semi-absentee gig. You know, we need to be working hard, you know, all different times of the year, you know, just because leads might slow to a trickle, you know, during the summer months or even, you know, during the holiday season. You know, we need to use this time to really make sure that we're buckling down on some things and doing some things that really give us the opportunity, you know, to have those client meetings or to have, you know, those weekly phone calls with our clients, things like that. You know, Q4 is really kind of a quirky quarter if you think about it. You know, there's a lot of disruptions in it to what we have as a pretty long sales cycle as I see it. You know, the holiday season kicks in, people can, you know, slow their pace down. Or sometimes people just completely check out during the latter half of the fourth quarter. You know, not just our clients, but franchisors, CPAs, attorneys, you know, the funding resources that we use. You know, I found that leading up to the week of Thanksgiving through New Year's, you know, it's really hard for us to keep a client moving at a healthy pace. So kick into some other things here that I like to do. You know, just in, you know, kind of getting started, looking back and prepping for the fourth quarter, you know, I'm a little bit of a procrastinator here. So I look at the fourth quarter and go, oh, no, there's some things that I haven't done. That I might need to buckle down on and to wrap up the year strong. You know, let's first start looking at some things that I think can be helpful in helping you get to, you know, achieving those annual goals. I'm a huge fan of, you know, pen and paper. I like to print out my year-to-date numbers, whether you keep them on a piece of paper with you year-round. A lot of us use the annual planning guide and track year-to-date numbers that way. I like to get out a pen and paper and just look at, you know, where I'm at, you know, where I'm ahead, where I'm behind. You know, there's something about looking at it on a piece of paper, I think, at least for me personally, that really helps me to highlight, you know, where I need to, buckle down instead of looking at it on an Excel file or, you know, comparing metrics that way. That's just me personally. It's just not a strength of mine digitally there. I like to look at my lead flow year to date. Where have my leads come from? Have they come from what I've jotted down as, back maybe the fourth quarter last year or first part of the first quarter of this year, you know, where I've expected things to come from? Has the quality of leads been what I had hoped? I also like to look at, maybe those clients that as the year has progressed, where have I lost ones? Or, the ones that got away, those clients that met all the qualifications of a buyer on paper but didn't progress through, our process, it kind of takes me back to what am I doing? Am I following the process? Am I qualifying those leads hard enough? So I'll kind of look at some of those things in just a review and just making sure here my I've got a delay. Are we on Q4 review again?
Yep.
Got a delay. Okay. My computer's going a little slow at advancing slides, so glad you got it. So, I like to look at my goals, my initiatives that I set down, like I said, in the annual planning and see, those areas where I'm falling short. Many of us, especially me, I get into a bit of a flow. Sometimes the year takes me to areas where I hadn't initially planned on spending a majority of my time. Kind of that following the path of least resistance. So, figuring out, is there something that I set out to do initially that I'm kind of falling down on? It's very easy to, start getting leads and getting quality referrals. And, I slow down on my networking, or I'll slow down on my visits to outplacement centers, not just to go out and, do a seminar or workshop there, but just time to go rub elbows with them and hang out and get to know that receptionist or that person that's leading the office. Those are obviously key referral sources for us. If I've got a limited amount of lead flow coming in, this is the time where I'm buckling down and trying to make sure that I've got those people in place so that my Q1 next year starts off strong. So I'm out there scheduling coffees or lunch with, those key referral partners, the CPAs, boutique outplacement centers are kind of a, one-man show from home, career counselors. But that bottom bullet point there on your screen, the weekly phone calls, staying structured with those things. I have a tendency to, sometimes slack with that. I think it was Gary Prineveau that told me one time that, one of the biggest changes that he made to his business was making sure that he had those weekly scheduled phone calls with his clients. So I'm going back and I'm looking at the structure of the year and clients, that I've worked with. Where have I strayed? Where have they strayed? So that's something to do. And really kind of planning for, a fourth quarter push to really kind of, maybe catch up where I'm slacking or getting behind. I've found that, where lead flow has come up short or where I've lost people, where deals have gone wrong, it's time to actually physically, again, there's the pen and paper, to get it out and physically document it, write it down. But I like to put it in a spot where I see it every single day, a notable place on my desk. And I just, if I got a goal of doing 10 deals in a year, just using a number here, and let's say I'm only at 6 or 7 deals or 8 deals, I write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 10, and I put X's through it, and I see it every single day. And it, for me personally, it lights a fire under me to, try and get, to what I've set out to do. And, I know there's people that do that for the entire year. Again, maybe I'm the procrastinator in the bunch here, but, that's something that does tend to, light a fire for me. I also like to go back to some of those quality PFAs that came through. Again, maybe the ones that got away. I call every single one of them. I try and do that throughout the year. If they came in January, by the fourth quarter, I've probably touched base with them a few times. you know, as you know, in this business, it's in many businesses, it's all about timing. So I go back to the ones that took jobs. You know, a lot of times they've settled into a new position by then. You know, if they came to us in February, March, they took a job offer. And they've kind of already figured out what the flow of the business is like or their new position. They might have some ideas if they can actually squeeze in another 15 hours a week to try and look at a semi-absentee business now. So I've found that a lot of these people, when I've connected with them, you know, they've worked with us earlier in the year, and then we get to a point later in the year. You know, they've gone through a month or two of research and took that job. These are people that have already got a little bit of taste of what the research process is like. So I'm sure you've had clients that you've re-engaged with. A lot of times, second time around, they move through the process fairly quickly. You know, those are the ones that I'm looking for. If I'm at six or seven deals and I need to get to 10, you know, they might accelerate through the process pretty easily. So I go back to as many leads as I can. You know, I have to, you know, personally for me, I need to block it out on my calendar. And if some people are very, very structured in the way they operate, you know, I'm a little looser. But I got to put it on a calendar, block it down and say, here's, you know, I'm just spending time calling these leads and clients today. You know, if it's not on my calendar, you know, a lot of times it doesn't get done. You know, we're bombarded with, you know, opportunities for this and that. So, you know, put it down on the calendar and make time to get out there and call those quality leads that you may have qualified or those quality PFAs that are out there. So, like I said, timing is everything. And I've caught enough people, a handful of people that do reengage over the year. And, you know, I do this throughout the year, but it seems to work towards the end of the year better when I reconnect with these people. I think there's probably a little bit of a mental piece to this. You know, I suspect that, you know, they're looking at, you know, maybe another year has gone by and I haven't got into something. There's, you know, there's a different mentality that people have towards the end of the year and towards the beginning of the year and when they're thinking about, you know, their overall life dreams. So, you know, catch them at the end of the year, beginning of the year. It's a good time for us to say, hey, is another year going to go by next year? You're going to be kicking yourself saying, hey, I could have done something, but I didn't. So sometimes that's that little fire that we can ignite under them. So, you know, my overall thought, and, you know, many people in Franet have shared this with me, is that there are deals in our database right now. I mean, you've got a lead, or you've got several leads in your database. You've got several clients that you've worked with, possibly right now, that, you know, now's the time to reengage with them. We have to be proactive and stay top of mind with them, you know, and make the effort instead of just hoping that they come back around and end up, you know, giving us a call when the timing's right for them. Chances are they're not going to. So, you know, some other things, you know, let's look at some things that you can do with your clients that maybe you've already got in process or in the beginning of the process with us. Yeah, I think we have to be careful not to be salesy, but, you know, at the same time, we need to offer them sound advice, you know, on the research process. You know, we need to let them know that people check out from, you know, from December, middle of December, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, right up to Thanksgiving, you know, all the way to the beginning of the year. So as I mentioned before, you know, franchisors, they check out too. You know, we have, you know, a couple parties in this process we have to manage, not just our clients, but the franchisors frequently. You know, they have a limited days of productive due diligence that they can get through. Sorry for the extra L there, a couple spelling errors. But it's certainly, and anybody that's been doing this long enough knows that getting validation done during the holiday season can be tricky at best. There's fewer discovery days, you know, our funding partners, you know, doing rollovers, you know, those things can take longer this time of year. So we need to set the expectation for the client. You know, hopefully, again, that lights that fire. You know, see the underlying theme here. You know, light a fire underneath them to, you know, stick it out, you know, on our process. So something that I remember when I first got into this, my dad and I think a couple other people, we were sitting around chatting and talking about how to get people moving in the fourth quarter. You know, a lot of the people that we work with, you know, we tend to work with some high-level people in companies. They get displaced, and, you know, a lot of times they end up with severance, you know, maybe not as much as they used to, but, you know, we still see people. Sometimes they get structured payments, and sometimes I've got clients that, you know, get large sums of money at one time. And, you know, that'll possibly kick them into a high tax bracket. You know, I got a client right now who's getting a year's salary in a lump sum. He's been displaced from a company here locally. So he's going to get a year's salary of about $275,000. And he's got, I would say, fairly realistic expectations that, you know, any business that he's going to get into is going to take him a few years to grow. So why wouldn't he go in and try and offset some of this year's tax liability, that large sum of money that he's going to receive, and make a sizable investment in something? You know, the trick here is that he's got to get all of his due diligence completed, you know, legal reviews done, and be able to actually sink the money into the business this year. So now is the time of year, or, you know, even by next month, you know, those clients that we've got that have those sizable severances possibly, you know, we need to, you know, doing a good job of saying, hey, here's a conversation we need to have. You might want to start doing some prep work, making sure that, you know, when we're in that client meeting with them and saying, when would you like to be up and running in business? You know, we can start planting this seed with them right now. A CPA I worked with here locally, he likes to use the term involuntary philanthropy when it comes to paying taxes that they could otherwise avoid. So, you know, I think it's sound advice. It doesn't hurt to suggest it, you know, that they talk to a CPA kind of as a secondary source on something like this so that we might not, you know, come off pushy. You know, I also like to look at this as, you know, when I'm reaching back out to those PFAs, those people that took a job and they get reengaged looking at semi-absentee businesses, you know, that might be something that you also suggest to them. You know, hey, if we can get this done in time, you know, you might be able to offset some of your taxes this year if you're, you know, making a sizable investment in something. So just some food for thought there. So, you know, during the fourth quarter, there's some things that I think many Fran netters will do to kind of, you know, solidify their lead sources and really set the stage for next year's calendar. So I put together what, you know, probably are some pretty basic strategies, I think. You might have them on your to-do list, and, you know, maybe not, though. You know, I think there's a lot of people in our organization that they really look at the fourth quarter as a time to, again, you know, build a foundation for the next year and get things set up. You know, some of the things that I do here locally, you know, I set up holiday luncheons. I'm fortunate that I've got, you know, some quality outplacement centers here, you know, whether they be, you know, the big ones nationally or even some local boutique ones. You know, I also set some things up with SCORE, the SBTC. You know, I don't have to do an extravagant thing. You know, I'll just take a tray of Jimmy John's in, you know, for a team at the SBDC or a SCORE meeting or something like that. But also getting together for, you know, with, you know, referral partners. You know, this is a great time, you know, when I go in to something like this, I will bring along a piece of paper that says, hey, you know, I really enjoyed, you know, working with you this year. I went ahead and took the liberty of putting together some dates for next year. You're sitting there and you're feeding them. They're fairly inclined, and obviously you say, hey, why don't you look at your calendar, see how these work, and let me know. How about if I follow up with you on, you know, next Friday, and we kind of pencil these dates in? So I'm a big fan of using that term penciled in because it kind of gives them a feeling like, hey, we don't have to, you know, it's nothing in stone, and it makes it easy on them mentally to go ahead and pencil those dates in and for us keep the competition out. So I'll also go and send, you know, the thank you cards that our marketing department does so well at creating, you know, the holiday cards that are out there. you know, anybody that's bought a business, you know, they're getting a handwritten note towards the end of the year just to thank you. And I use that as an opportunity to ask for the referral, too. You know, every stage of the way, you know, or going back to our very first training sessions, you know, you got somebody there, ask for the referral. You know, that's how we can build this business, obviously. So, you know, I'll also start putting together some things, you know, New Year's resolution emails. There's a template out there on Fran Connect, I believe, that I've used. Or maybe it's one that we've created. But yeah, I use a template that basically says, hey, New Year's resolution, don't let another year go by. So it's a great opportunity just to kind of, again, use that time of year when people are kind of looking at things differently. They're reflecting and they're looking forward. And as I said before, timing is everything. So next slide here. So basically expectations and results here, you know, the fourth quarter is really, you know, just like anything else, it's going to be what you make of it. If you think it's going to be a slow time, it's going to, absolutely. But it can really, you know, set the stage for, you know, really strong leads and a good number of workshops and seminars that you can do for the next year. And, you know, if you look back and, you know, a couple of years from now, hopefully, fourth quarters can be your most productive times of year. So, you know, it's a brief conversation here today, but just a few things that, you know, Megan and I talked about that sounds like might be helpful. You know, tips and tricks that others have shared with me, and glad to have the opportunity to kind of consolidate some of them and share them with you. So I guess, Megan, do you want to go ahead and maybe open up to see if anybody has any discussion points or anything that we wanted to kick around here in addition to what we've talked about so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So, guys, I'm going to open the lines, and I would also encourage that if you don't have any questions, maybe if there's something you would like to expand on that's been said already or something that you do that wasn't mentioned, that would be awesome to throw out there so people can kind of hear that as well and have a nice little chat about that. So I'll unmute the lines so we can get that going.
The conference has been unmuted.
So any thoughts, questions, ideas?
Anyone? Bueller?
Does anybody love the fourth quarter and never hated it in the beginning? must be a completely good to go then. All right. Well, in that case, if anybody thinks of anything that pops up into their head later, just let me know. Let us know if there's something that was mentioned on the call that you want to find, like maybe there's a template you didn't know existed in Fran Connect, something else that would be beneficial, just shoot us an email. If not, then I will be sharing this recording later on today, and you can see it in Fran Connect in the vault as well. So thank you, Chris, for going through everything. And we will let you know of the next training call.
Thank you. Great advice, Chris. Thank you.